looked at various couples in the Bible, or marriages and families, I pray that you have learned some lessons. Lessons about a Christian marriage. What it should be like, and often what it should not be like. With Solomon, we saw the need to marry in the faith so that there is harmony of purpose, harmony of worldview. With Isaac, we saw the need for husbands to love their wives. With Lot, the need to make the home a spiritual refuge, nurturing a love for God rather than a love for the world. With Ruth, the importance of passing on the faith generation to generation. This morning I would like to look at a fascinating New Testament couple, Aquila and Priscilla, an example of a godly couple, an example of what the Christian home should be like. And our primary text, as we just read, Acts 18, verses 1 through 4. Well, Paul travels from Athens, where he has been contending with the philosophers, to Corinth. He is evangelizing, he's preaching the gospel, and he's starting churches. He's self-supported. That is, we call him today, he has a tent-making ministry. As you'll see, there's a reason for that expression. And he comes to Corinth and he needs to work. As we saw a number of, maybe it's years ago now, when we looked at 1 Corinthians, Corinth was a thriving trading city. And he comes there to preach the gospel and to minister. And because he is self-supported, he needs to work. He needs to have income. He also needs a place to stay. And just kind of quietly, without much emphasis, we're told that he comes and this need is met through a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Their home was a home given to hospitality. And we're told that they also had just moved to Corinth. And the reason we're told is because the emperor of Rome, a man named Claudius, had expelled the Jews from Rome, and we know from history that this took place in 49 AD. And at this point, we don't know if they're converted. It seems like they might have been. If you will recall, on the day of Pentecost, we are told in Acts chapter 2 that many Jews were there from Rome. And 3,000 believed. So it's very possible they could have been in Jerusalem and heard Peter preach the gospel. We don't know. As we're introduced to them, they seem to be genuine believers, and providentially, more about that in a moment, they connect with the Apostle Paul in the great city of Corinth. And we're told that they too were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker. Now this is interesting. We think of Paul as the apostle, an evangelist, a church planter. But now we learn that he was also a tent maker, a self-supporting tent maker. According to Jewish practice, back in those days, every rabbi had to have a trade. He was taught a trade before he entered into the ministry. Paul was educated, we're told in scripture in Acts primarily, he was educated and trained as a rabbi. He had what would be equivalent today of a PhD, or a THD, not a PhD, a THD, Doctor of Theology. But he also had a trade that supported the preaching and the teaching. Aquila and Priscilla did not just meet Paul and visit a little bit. They connected with Paul and they took him in. They worked with him and they provided a place for him to stay. He lived with them for a while and apparently continued with them for a while. That this was a little bit more than simple hospitality, we learn in the book of Acts, so or in Romans rather. So if you're in the book of Acts, turn back a few pages to the end of Romans. And in the end of Romans, Paul is greeting various people and such. Now look at what he says, beginning with verse 3. He says to the church that's at Rome, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." Seems apparently Priscilla and Aquila went back later to Rome and were there. And as he writes to the church at Rome, he says, greet them. But notice, they risked their necks. They put their lives at risk for Paul. They not only opened their home to him, they risked their lives to shelter him. And the reason for this was because of the growing hostility toward Christianity, the persecution of the saints, and Paul in particular. His enemies were chasing him from city to city. And they took him in. Now, back in Acts 18, notice verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed to Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. Apparently, a bond developed between them. And even as Paul went on to continue ministering in another city, they went with him. Aquila and Priscilla, you will recall, were running themselves. They were, if you will, pilgrims. And yet, under that kind of pressure, they gladly opened their home to another pilgrim in need. It's an example of what Christian homes should be like. Our homes should be refuges. They should be places of retreat from the world. First, they should be places of refuge for our own families, particularly our children. Our children need to be protected from the world. And parents have an obligation to see to that. Our homes, parents, need to be a place of safety, and a place of love, of peace, and tranquility from the sin and the harshness of the world. But what we see in Aquila and Priscilla is a home that was also a refuge to others, open to those in need outside of their family. And so they ministered to the Apostle Paul. Something else we see in the home of Aquila and Priscilla is that it was a place of instruction. Still in chapter 18. Now notice verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. However, he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explain to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, catch this, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He learned that Jesus is the Messiah from Aquila and Priscilla. They're in Ephesus, and they run into a man named Apollos. By the way, this is what is called providence. Do you know what providence is, children? God providentially, that is, through ordinary means and circumstances and decisions and nature and so on, just working through all of these things, nothing supernatural, no great miracle, no sign from heaven, just natural events and choices and decisions, brought Paul into the lives of Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth. And now in Ephesus, God brought Apollos into their lives as well, and then God used them to minister to both of them, and in Apollos' case, to explain the gospel to him. Apollos was a Jew from Alexandria, that is northern Egypt, or Africa. He's a powerful speaker, we're told. And he's knowledgeable in the scriptures. He is a faithful believer in the Lord, but we're told that he only knows the baptism of John. That is, he does not fully understand the gospel. He does not understand that the end of the Old Testament prophecies and types and figures is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But he knows the way of righteousness and the baptism of John the Baptist. So we need to understand the gospel is more than a message of repentance. It is that. Sinners need to repent from sin. That's the negative side of the gospel. But the positive side is that they must turn to Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Apollos had a message of repentance, but he did not have the positive message of Christ. Aquila and Priscilla providentially run into him, and they don't debate him. They don't stand up and start a debate with him. They quietly take him home and instruct him about the fullness of the gospel, about Christ, about how he fulfills all the types and ceremonies and rituals of the Old Testament. They're mere shadows. He is a reality. And then look what happened. Verse 28. He vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures that he was knowledgeable in, from them, he shows them that Jesus is the prophesied Messiah. He got it. And then he proclaimed it. And God used, if you will, a lay couple, Aquila and Priscilla, to educate Apollos. And he immediately adjusted his message and publicly used the Old Testament scriptures to show Jesus as the Christ. This is something that we noted in previous weeks, but Christian education begins in the homes. Like Aquila and Priscilla, all believers are to be teachers of the Word. And whether you understand it or acknowledge it, you are, wherever you are in your Christian life, you are a teacher of the Scriptures to someone else. There are people that are watching you, learning from you. It might be your children. It might be your neighbor. Sometimes I am amused and surprised at what my neighbors observe about my wife and I that I'm unaware of. But there's been interactions and all of a sudden they say something. And it's a wake-up call. No matter who you are or where you are in your Christian life, there are those that are watching you. And particularly if you have children, they are learning from you. We saw in Deuteronomy 6 that our homes in particular should be places of instruction in the way of the Lord. Apollos was used of God in establishing churches. But he was prepared to do that by a humble couple who used their home as a school of theology. Their home is also a place of worship. Going backwards beyond Romans, 1 Corinthians, again at the end of the book where Paul makes some interesting comments, but 1 Corinthians chapter 16, notice verse 19. The churches of Asia greet you, and he's talking to the believers in the city of Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Not only did Aquila and Priscilla take people into their home, not only did they use their home as a place to teach the word, the scriptures, they allowed their church to be a place of worship for the church to meet. Now think about this. They lived a rather unsettled life. They were pilgrims. They traveled. They were experiencing persecution. Probably financially, things were fairly tight for them. By the way, tent making was not a highly lucrative trade. And yet they were always involved in the work of the gospel. They always seem to have an open heart and an open home to others. And then we think, well, how in the world did Priscilla have the time to work, to keep house, to entertain, to minister? She had no running water, no electricity, no washing machine, no dishwasher, and yet she found the time to minister and to serve others. There's an interesting story along this line in the Gospel of Luke. So Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." We need to eat. We should have a house that's clean and orderly. But the eternal things of God always need to be a priority over that. Maybe Aquila did most of the teaching. Maybe Aquila did most of the sewing. We don't know. All those details are not given to us. What's interesting is they're always spoken of as a team. One of the things, and I think I mentioned this earlier, I know I have in the Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class, which beginning September 10th will begin at 10 a.m. One of the concepts of marriage that is often missing today is the we concept. A man and a woman leave their parents and become one. Not we, but one. Priscilla was a true helpmate, using the language of Genesis chapter 2. God created Eve to be a helpmate. Aquila and Priscilla ministered together in harmony to advance the cause of Christ. They had a priority in their marriage, a common priority, the ministry of the gospel, the service to the kingdom. So they worked together. They ministered together. They shared together. I suspect, we're not told this, but I suspect they loved one another very much. And they loved the Lord. And they both had an eternal perspective on life that was centered not on this world, not on the goodies of the world, the riches of the world, the treasures of the world, as Jesus put it, but on Christ. They had a priority together in God's service. So they worked together and ministered together. Think about this. This would not have been the case if Aquila had not been a believer. Think of what Solomon's life would have been like, and his kingdom would have been like, if he had chosen a godly woman to be his queen rather than hundreds of unbelievers. This would not have been the case for Aquila, or a case for the family, if Aquila had been a lukewarm believer. God could not have used them as he did providentially in the lives of Paul and Apollos and who knows how else, if that had been the case. That is why it is so important and imperative for Christian young people to date and to marry only Christians. Indeed, Christians that truly love the Lord and want to serve him. Something else we notice about Aquila and Priscilla in all of this is there's no woe is me. There's no martyr's complex about this. Oh, we have to take Apollos in. We have to spend time with Apollos. They serve the Lord with energy, with enthusiasm, with joy. Think about this. How would you have liked to have in your home, around your dinner table, the Apostle Paul and the eloquent Apollos? Working with them, talking with them, discussing the things of the Lord with them, and being used of God in their lives to help them serve the Lord. What a blessing that would have been. Let me share something on a little personal note, which I usually don't do, but one of the things that greatly influenced me in my life and helped develop in my heart a passion for missions. And there's a long story there that is irrelevant right now, so I won't share it. My parents often had missionaries and pastors in their home. I can remember time after time sitting around the dinner table with pastors and missionaries listening to, I didn't really enter in, you know, I was a little kid, but listening to discussions about God and about the ministry and about evangelism and missions and the struggles of churches. I knew a man named Mel Lyons. He was a missionary to the Belgian Congo. And we sat around the dinner table with him many times, because he'd always come to our church when he was around. And so I heard firsthand the stories and the struggles and the victories of the mission field. Another missionary in our home was a man named Bruce Kerr. Later in seminary, I was in his missions class as he was short-term teaching there the subject of missions. And it was in that class, the very first semester of seminary, it was in his class that I was introduced to election and the sovereignty of God in salvation. And that's another story. Bruce Kerr had a long-term influence. In fact, in a lot of ways, he's still influencing me because of what I learned in his missions class. An open heart and an open home is not a burden. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to others, and it's a blessing to your home. Aquila and Priscilla are such a wonderful example of this. What a wonderful example of what a Christian family and home and marriage should be like. Their marriage also reminds us of the harmony that there should be between a husband and a wife. You might be in Luke. If you will, turn to Romans. Again, Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, notice verse 10. Paul says, now he's writing to Christians at Rome. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now notice verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Now this is written to all believers, but it should be especially true of husbands and wives. It should be true of Christian couples who have a united love for the Lord and serving Him and the kingdom of Christ. And so a love and respect and affection for one another. Like Aquila and Priscilla, husbands and wives should have a spirit of service to the Lord rather than a drive, as the world does, for wealth, for pleasure, for comfort. All in this world. One more, John chapter 13, and some words from our Lord. John chapter 13, and beginning with verse 14, Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Christian, you need to have a servant's heart. Aquila and Priscilla did. You need to have a servant's heart to your spouse, to other believers, to the church of Christ, to Bethel. Paul tells the Ephesians to submit to one another, to have a submissive spirit rather than an arrogant, authoritarian spirit. As Christians, We need a teachable spirit like Apollos, who will listen even to a couple, untrained, uneducated, no seminary degree, not even probably a college degree. An important principle we see in Aquila and Priscilla is also this spirit of companionship in marriage. It's interesting, the first and primary purpose of marriage is given in Scripture as companionship. So we read in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man, Adam, should be alone. I will make him a helper," or a helpmate, comparable to him, equivalent to him. The prophet Malachi, as he attacks the people of God, come back to the land and are mistreating each other and so on and so forth, and in particularly men in relationship to their wives and divorcing them for no reason and so on. He says, "For you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously." However, Malachi says this, "She is your companion, your helpmate, and your wife by covenant." That is the covenant of marriage, not the covenant of grace. Aquila and Priscilla are great examples of this. Unlike many marriages today where the husband goes his way and the wife goes his way, Aquila and Priscilla were companions. Companions in life and in ministry and in their home. They worked together, they ate together, they ministered together, because there was harmony and companionship in their lives as a couple. They were a blessing to others, including Paul and Apollos. They also show us the importance of Scripture. The Word of God was a part of their home, and it should be a part of our home. The Bible needs to be taught and discussed and lived in our homes. The world is fallen. We're sinners. Life comes at us fast. And we're never going to be perfect this side of glory. We're always going to struggle. We're always going to fail. We're always going to neglect our duties and our responsibilities. That's a part of life in this fallen world. But eating together as a family, praying together as a family, reading Scripture together as a family, catechizing together as a family, ought to be going on in our homes. In our busy lives, many things make it hard to be consistent. But it should be a goal for all of us to have homes like Aquila and Priscilla, rather than Lot or Solomon. To have homes where families eat together, pray together, minister together. As Christians, we need to strive to build homes on biblical principles. Believers must marry believers. A husband must love his wife as himself, unconditionally, sacrificing even life itself for her good and his family. Wives are to honor and respect their husbands, are to have a submissive spirit toward their leadership rather than a rebellious, resistant spirit. In our homes, Christ and his word need to be central rather than the world, so that our homes might be a refuge from the evil and the chaos and the darkness of the world, a place of spiritual growth and nurture and comfort and refuge. May the Lord grant us marriages and homes that are a bright witness to the goodness of our God. May our homes be a place where there is increasing nurture and admonition of the things of the Lord. May our homes be a light in the darkness of our world. Shall we pray? Our Father, our God, we are so grateful for your word and its wisdom and instruction. Thank you even for the example of Aquila and Priscilla. What an encouragement they are to us. Father, we pray that as individuals, as couples, as families, may we be more like Aquila and Priscilla and less like the world around us. That through us, through our homes and families and marriages, our Savior Jesus Christ might be lifted up and exalted. We pray these things in His name and for His glory. Amen. If you would, please turn to hymn number 528. Stand as we sing, "Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart."